I do want to share with you that Scott McCracken's here down front in the green shirt. He's one of our missionaries that we support and have been supporting for a long time. We want to welcome him today, joining us, visiting his dad, but always a pleasure to have them here. If you get the opportunity to speak to him, ask and hear what God's doing in his ministry and how you can be praying for and continuing to encourage him. October 1st, that's this Wednesday night, there are some changes, and so please pay attention. If you are a children will still meet, youth will meet, college will meet, choir will meet. However, anything that meets in the fellowship hall, which includes Wednesday night supper, Brother David's class, Mom's Life, and my community group will not be meeting this Wednesday night due to repairs that are being done in the fellowship hall. And so children, youth, college, choir, everything is normal. But those things that meet in the fellowship hall will not be meeting just this one Wednesday night. Everything will be back to normal on Sunday. No supper, no Wednesday night supper. Brother David wants you to know you have to eat before you get here. I told y'all, announcements are hard. There's always corrections. I don't call him out when he makes mistakes, but he took the opportunity to call me out in front of all of you, and I just want to make that known. All right, it is that time of year that we do deacon nominations, and so there are forms at the welcome desk, and the nomination deadline is the end of the month at October 26th. If you know somebody that you want to nominate, please pray over that. Please look over those guidelines. Please talk to that individual and ask them and know that they want to serve before you turn in that form and make that nomination. I'm really excited about the Walk for Bibles. It's October 11th, and this is something we participated in the last couple of years. There's a picture from one of our years, all the people who showed up to Walk for Bibles. This is through the Mobile Baptist Association, and your church, Luke 418's Missions Committee, has already authorized to buy Bibles on your behalf, so you don't have to be sponsored. You don't have to go get sponsors. You have a sponsor, but you do have to show up. There's been a little bit of confusion that it's from 7:30 to 11:30. The truth is, let's be there at 8 o'clock for the picture, and you're saying you're going to walk 3 laps at Medal of Honor Park. If you walk those 3 laps, the church is going to give $100 towards the Mobile Baptist Association to purchase Bibles for international ministries for the ships that come in. They're also going to give $100 for Bibles that are digital Bibles for South Asia, our partnership in South Asia. And so if you will show up on October 11th and walk 3 laps, for those who can't make it 3 laps, we're not going to count. There's a couple of y'all. Brother David's been known to cheat on that. If you'll show up, $200 of Bibles, literally probably 50 or more Bibles, would be given, put into the hands of either new believers or people who don't have the Word of God. Is that worth an hour of your time on October 11th? We had 71 people that year. I hope we exceed that. Please go to the lobby and sign up, and remember to come to Medal of Honor Park on October 11th. Kids Ministry is still looking for help. They need men. They need college students. They need older adults. They need grandmas to come and rock babies. There's a place for you to serve, particularly on Wednesday nights, on Sunday mornings. Can we help them out and minister in that way and give those moms an opportunity to be in worship? All right, that's all of the announcements for this morning, I believe. Did I miss anything? He's so proud of me.
Let me come up and add a few things. No. Hey, we want to take just a moment. Y'all may not know this, but Brother Randy's here this morning, and I've actually told him after the announcements he needs to get out of here because his wife is at the hospital or in the hospital, and so we need to be praying for Hannah. Everything seems to be fine, but they're still walking through some tests and some things. And so let's just pray right now for Brother Randy and for Hannah and for the family. And Father, we just come before your throne right now, Lord. And Father, I thank you for the Presley family. Father, I thank you for Hannah and Randy and what they mean to all of us here at Luke 418 Fellowship. And Father, when my brother hurts, my heart hurts. When a family member is sick, my heart hurts with them. And Father, we pray right now, Lord, that you would heal Hannah. Lord, that you would just touch her body and heal her in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you for Randy and Hannah's devotion here to Luke 4:18. And Father, I just pray blessings upon them. Lord, strengthen them, give them peace and comfort during these days, and let them know that the church is there lifting their arms up during this time. Now, Father, we love you, we praise you, and we give you all glory, for it's in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Aaron.
Amen. It is such a good thing to be a part of the family God, the family of God. Amen. Today we're going to be worshiping in spirit and in truth. And if you're a guest with us, we would love for you to fill out the welcome card that's right in front of you. If you fill that card out, give us a little bit of information there. You'll hear a lot about Luke 4:18, how you can be a member, how you can serve, and how you can get in contact with our leadership and everything like that. We'd love for you to do that. As we have so many great things that are going on here at Luke 4:18 Fellowship. So why don't we go ahead and stand today as we sing a hymn that we have set to a Celtic arrangement this morning. It's Like a River Glorious. Why don't you greet someone as we begin in worship today? Thank you. When we dwell in the house of the Lord together, we abide in Him, and His glory is like a river. Amen? And we can depend on Him. We say, revive us again today. As we sing together corporately, we praise Thee, O God. Revive us again. Let's sing this together.
We praise Thee, O God, for the Son of Thy love.
Said amen. And we say today, Lord, You are holy, holy, holy. There's no one like You. We give You this doxology of praise as we sing together.
Holy, holy, holy Lord.
Our God, three in one, is who we worship today. Love of God that could reach so far for us.
Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, all Thy works shall praise Thy name in earth and sky and sea.
Be seated. seated as we continue in worship today. As we say, Jesus, your mercy is more. Let's praise him.
Praise the Lord. His mercy is more. Stronger than darkness, new every morn. Our sins, they are many. His mercy is more.
What love could remember?
What love could remember? No wrongs we have done. On this and all knowing, he counts not their sum. Thrown into a sea without bottom or shore. Our sins, they are many. His mercy is more. Praise the Lord. The weakest, the vilest, the poor. Our sins, they are many. His mercy is more. Praise the Lord. His mercy is more. Stronger than darkness, new every morn. Our sins, they are many. His mercy is more. Oh, 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 oh. What riches of kindness he lavished on us. His blood was the payment, his life was the cost. We stood neath a debt we could never afford. Our sins, they are many. His mercy is more. Praise the Lord. His mercy is more. Stronger than darkness, new every morn. Our sins, they are many. His mercy is more. Praise the Lord. His mercy is more, so much more. Stronger than darkness, through every morn. Our sins, they are many. His mercy is more. Our sins, they are many. His mercy is more. Your mercy is more.
Amen. Isn't that what worship is, though? That we take everything that the Lord has given to us and is saying to us, and we return it back to him. All of our gifts, all of our possessions, everything that we have is his. We worship him in spirit and truth. Today we're going to shout to the Lord this morning. You all know this song. You see it with it. Sing it with us as Andrea leads us this morning. Love. more song today. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we shout just praise and worship to you today. Lord, we know that there's a day when you will return. We cannot wait for it, but in the waiting, in the moments where we don't know whether we can stand, we know that we can because you are right there beside us. Teach us to abide in you today.
King bread for my daily bread, I depend on you, I depend on you for the sun to rise, for my sleep at night, I depend on you. Yes, I depend on you. You're the way, the truth, and the life. You're the well that never runs dry. I'm the branch and you are the vine. Draw me close and teach me to
the way, the truth, and the light. Draw me close and teach me to abide.
Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we get our power from you. Lord, we get our salvation from you. We get our daily bread, our everything. Lord, we pray today that we follow you, that we would be your children, that you would be our Father that is in heaven. That we would recognize that your name is holy, that we're set apart. Lord, we pray that in this place that our worship would be as it is in heaven. We pray today that we would join in with the everlasting song, join in with the never-ending story of your gospel, Lord. We realize that we have needs and that you have provided abundantly for those according to your riches and glory. And Lord, today we pray that we would treat those around us with the love and the mercy and the grace that you have given to us. And in this battle, of which there is a very real enemy, Lord, we pray that we would have the full armor of God, that you would protect us, Lord, as we go along, that we would follow you heart, soul, mind, and strength in this place today, and that we follow you. Amen.
Well, I know I say this all the time, but I love getting to come behind Aaron, the choir, the orchestra. It's just incredible. As they prepare our hearts in some manner to hear God's word, though we are worshiping, whether it is in song or whether it's in opening God's word, or when you leave this place today, you're still worshiping. I want to just remind you, it was said not too long ago in a message that we are all created in God's image, and in that, God created us to worship. We are worshiping something at all times. I kind of break it down to two things. We're either worshiping God or we're worshiping ourselves. Now, I understand that we can worship a lot of things in life, but when we take our eyes off of the one that we were created and designed to worship, we're ultimately seeking out what we desire, what we want. And today we're going to be in Malachi chapter 1, and we're going to finish this chapter, verses 6 through 14, and we're going to see that God, through the prophet Malachi, is saying to the priest, you have totally just messed up this whole understanding of worship. You have just taken this, and in doing so, you have just despised my name because of how you are worshiping or offering according to the scripture. And so let's pick up in verse 6, and we're going to read through the end, which is verse 14. It says, a son honors his father, and a servant his master. Then I am a father. Where is my honor? And I am a master. Where is my respect? Says the Lord of hosts to you. O priest, you despise my name. But you say, how have we despised your name? You're presenting defiled food upon my altar. But you say, how have we defiled you? In that you say, the table of the Lord is to be despised. But when you present the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you present the lame and sick, is it not evil? Why not offer it to your governor? Would he be pleased with you? Or would he receive you kindly, says the Lord of hosts? But now, will you not entreat God's favor, that he may be gracious to us? With such an offering on your part, will he receive any of you kindly, says the Lord of hosts? Oh, that there were one among you who would shut the gates, that you might not uselessly kindle fire on my altar. I am not pleased with you, says the Lord of hosts, nor will I accept an offering from you. For from the rising of the sun, even to its setting, my name will be great among the nations, and in every place incense is going to be offered to my name, and a grain offering that is pure. For my name will be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts. But you are profaning it. in that you say the table of the Lord is defiled, and for its fruit, its food is to be despised. You also say, my, how tiresome it is, and you disdain, you fully sniff at it, says the Lord of hosts. And you bring what was taken by robbery and what is lame or sick, so you bring the offering. Should I receive that from your hand, says the Lord? But cursed be the swindler who has a male in his flock and vows it, but sacrifices a blemished animal to the Lord. For I am a great king, says the Lord of hosts, and my name is feared among the nations. Father, we just come before your throne, and we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth that you have given us. And Father, I pray today that you would open our eyes to see that which you are speaking. And Father, I pray that as you are speaking directly to the priest in this passage, I pray that we, as the body of Christ today, would ask you to give us the application today as we look at what you said to the priest. Father, we just thank you, we love you, and we praise you. Put me on the front row, let me hear what you are speaking, and put it into my life as well, for it's in your precious and holy name. Amen. We see in this passage that God starts in verse 6 by reminding the nation of Israel that he's their father and that he is their master or their ruler. But in doing so, he asks this question. He says, hey, you don't honor me. Where's my honor as father? Where is the respect for me as your ruler, as your master in verse 6? But then we see this word, and God gives this, says this to the priest. He just, in some sense, I struggled with it. I was like, Lord, I just don't understand. And he said, oh, priest, who despise my name. And then he says, you ask, how have we despised your name? Now, the reason I struggle with this indictment, the reason I struggle with how he spoke this is because I just began to say, Lord, what does it mean to despise? You know, you've probably heard somebody say, I despise this or I despise that. And in our mind, we're thinking like, I don't like this, I dislike that. But I began to look at this idea of what does it mean to despise something. So the first thing I did was I just went to Webster's Dictionary, and it says despise means to regard one as negligible, worthless, or distasteful. Think about this for a minute. So God, in some sense, is saying to them, hey, you are saying that my name is worthless. You are regarding my name as distasteful or worthless. When I attempt to understand a word that maybe I don't quite grasp even in the English language, I often go back to where it's used in Scripture. And this word is used in Genesis 25, verse 34, and it talks about how Esau despised his birthright. He counted his birthright as worthless, that he would just give it away for a bowl of soup. In the following verses, verse 7, ultimately through verse 14, we see the Lord explaining or presenting evidence to the priest of how they have despised his name and considered his name worthless. The first thing that we see is their offering. In verse 7 through 9, we see the offering that is being presented to the Lord. And the priest offering, God says, you are sacrificing the lame, you are sacrificing the blind, and you are sacrificing the sick. And twice in verse 7 and 8, God says, that is this not evil? He says to the priest, you're offering the lame sacrifice, the blind sacrifice, the sick sacrifice. Is this not evil? All of this goes back to Leviticus. See, the priest would have known the scriptures, and God was clear that they were to sacrifice the best and the unblemished animals. In Leviticus 1, verse 3, one of the first places where we see this in Scripture, it says, if his offering is a burnt offering from the herd, he shall offer it a male without defect. Later in Leviticus 22, 19 through 21, but specifically verse 20, whatever has a defect, you shall not offer, for it will not be accepted for you. Or Deuteronomy 15, 21. But if it has a defect, such as lameness or blindness or any serious defect, you shall not sacrifice it to the Lord your God. See, the priest would have known the Old Testament. They would have known the book of Leviticus. They would have known that what they were doing by offering the lame, the blind, and the sick, that they were ultimately doing that which was evil before the Lord. Why does God require an unblemished animal? It's not because God is prideful. It's not because he's arrogant. It's because he's holy. It's because God is holy and set apart that God calls for us to give and offer the best. Now, God uses an example here in this passage to bring home the point. God says, hey, just use some common sense. That's lacking in our world today, but just use some common sense. He says to the priest, he says, would you offer this same sacrifice that you've offered to me to the governor? Now think about that for a moment, church. If we were going to offer something to somebody in a position of power, more than likely we're going to offer them something that is valuable to us. More than likely, we're going to make sure that it is really nice and perfect. And because why? They're in a place of power, and we want to give them something that shows them how we value them. And God's saying to the priest, he says, you wouldn't even offer that to an earthly ruler, but you'll offer it to the Creator, God of the universe. You wouldn't offer that to an earthly ruler, but you'll offer it to the one who actually created the ruler that you're willing to give better to? How would an earthly ruler feel if you offered what you're offering to God to them? If you would not offer it to them, then why would you offer it to God? Who is more worthy of our offering? Who is more worthy of our praise? God, the Creator, or an earthly ruler? But in their sacrifice, they were ultimately showing that they viewed others more valuable and despised the name of God. Not only was it the priest's offering, but it was also the priest's attitude. The priest's attitude in making these offerings. Look at verse 13. In verse 13 it says, you also say, my, how tiresome it is. The priest literally saying, I don't know about y'all, but I'm tired of doing all these offerings. I'm tired of all these sacrifices. It'd be like us saying, oh, I'm just tired of coming together on Sunday mornings. Oh, I'm tired of doing all these different things. This routine, it's redundant. The priests were tired of checking a box. They were just tired of going through this process. At church, God is telling them that their offering and their attitude towards this offering both are despising his name. Showing the world around them that they have disdain or that they don't value the God that they say that they worship. So what's the Lord's response in all of this? We see in verse 10 and verse 14 a couple responses from the Lord. First, in verse 10, we see that God is not pleased. God is not pleased with their offering. Why? Because they're giving of the seconds and thirds of their life instead of giving that which is best. We also see in verse 10 that God will not accept the offering. Why? Because their heart is not right in this. Their heart is about, oh, I just got to give him something to please him, instead of saying, hey, I value God for who he is. He is of great worth. He is worthy of it all. And so I'm going to give him my best. God says, I won't receive it, because you're offering your seconds and your thirds. Your heart is not right. But then down in verse 14 it says, but cursed be the swindler who has a male in his flock and vows it, but sacrifices a blemished animal to the Lord. Cursed be the one who brings their seconds or their thirds to the Lord and not their best. Church, as we look at this, the priests are being called out. God is giving an indictment upon them and saying that you have valued my worth as nothing. You have disdained my name. You have come and despised my name. Because of this, I am not pleased with you. I am not accepting your offering. And cursed is the one who brings the seconds to the Lord. Now, I ran through all of this quickly for us to get to the very last point of the message today, but there's a lot of things to get to in this last point. And that is our application. How do we apply this into our life? Well, first off, when I read this, I'm like, Lord, the last thing I want to do is be like the priest in this passage. When I look at this and I read, I say, Father, please keep me from walking in the same path, in the same direction of the priest in verse 6 through 14. As we look at the application in this passage, we must first start by remembering that we're all created in the image of God for His glory. As the scripture says, all of us were designed to worship in order to bring glory to the name of Jesus. This is why in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, it says that I urge you, brothers, by the mercy of God, to present your body as a living sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service or act of worship. That we see Paul in Romans is saying, hey, give your whole life to God as an act of worship. He's worthy of it all. He is worth it. What is worship? But it is the proclamation of one's worth. We see that that word is worth. Ship. It is about proclaiming His worth. It's a matter of the heart, not simply words. We worship God for who He is and for what He's done. For who He is and what He's done. And so the first thing that we want to just kind of ask this question is, do you value God's worth? How do you value God? Do you see Him as worthy of it all? Do you see Him as the great I Am, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the One who is holy? The reason that I say this is because in this passage, God is coming against the priest saying, hey, you don't value me. You're saying I am worthless. You're saying my name is worthless. So church, to begin with just an idea of worship, how do you value God for who He is and what He's done? Do you get overwhelmed by our God? This is why I personally love to go to the mountains. And listen, I love the beach too, but I love to go to the mountains. Because when I go to the mountains, it puts into perspective not only how beautiful and creative our God is, but how small I am. I've got a few pictures just to show you up here from just some pictures of just some places I got to hike or walk to. You can just go to the next one. What you can't see in that picture is that rainbow actually went from side to side all the way. Those who were with me in Alaska, you remember this picture because you were there. You can keep going. Just some of the beauty, that's Lake Solitude in the Tetons. That's just hiking down through the canyon. This is me having just a devotion. I didn't know that a friend of mine was taking a picture behind me. Just look at how small I am compared to just the mountain in the background. Go to the next one. And this is my favorite. And this was just 2 weeks ago at Glacier National Park. And what I love about this picture is that it just reminds me how small I am and how big my God is. Church, we say from our mouth that God is all valuable, worthy of it all, that God is bigger and greater than we could ever imagine. But does that in the heart? Does our worship come from an overflow of how big and powerful and great our God is? Do we get overwhelmed that He's all-powerful, all-knowing, that there is nowhere that our God is not? He is in all places. Do we get overwhelmed that there is none like Him? Do we get overwhelmed that He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords? Do we get overwhelmed that He loves us with an unconditional agape love of the Father? Do we get overwhelmed that He pours out His grace upon us, the same one who spoke earth into existence, that spoke in mountains and valleys and all these things took place? It's the same one who calls us children, that we get to call Him Father. Church, do we get overwhelmed by our God? Listen, you want to know how powerful my God is? All He had to do was say, "Let there be," and all of that I, you know, right there. Even me. That's how big He is. Like, I want you to feel how small we are and how big our God is. I want you to be overwhelmed, because when we are overwhelmed by His beauty, when we're overwhelmed by His grace and His mercy, when we're overwhelmed by who He is, we're not going to sit there and count Him as worthless. We're not going to go through just the motions. We're not going to just come in on a Sunday morning and sing some songs and then sit down and hear somebody speak probably too long and then go home. We're going to come in, and as the songs are being sung, we're looking not at the style, but at the words that are being said that proclaim the great worth of our God. Church, we need to be overwhelmed by who our God is. Too often we get overwhelmed by our circumstances and our situations in life instead of getting overwhelmed by how amazing and big our God is. For us to apply this to our life, we must ask ourselves, are we overwhelmed by God? Another thing that we need to ask ourselves is, what are we offering to God? Are we offering, and you can take the picture off, are we offering to God our best? Are we offering our seconds and our thirds? Do you spend time with the Lord, or do you say that you just don't have enough time? I just don't have enough time in the day to have a quiet time, a time where I devote to Him. Is your prayer life simply before the meal? Good food, good meat, praise God, let's eat. Or is your prayer life a continual journey of you communicating with the Lord and sharing your heart with the great I am, and pouring out just who you are and just continuing in that conversation with God? Church, we all have room to grow in this area, but the question is, are we giving God our best? I like what Rob Gallaty says in his commentary on this, and so I'll read it from him, speaking on this verse and just about, are we offering to God? He says this. He says, in modern times, God may have reason to say something to you like this: are you offering your best to Uncle Sam, but you offer less to the work of God? You spend all your time watching football, but you spend minimal time reading my word. You spend all your time in the hobbies of life, but you devote little time to prayer, seeking, memorization, and meditating. Think about this for a minute. How often in our life do we say, I just didn't have enough time? How often in our life do we just simply say, well, I just got busy? As a friend of mine who's in here today, one of our deacons always says, busy is being under Satan's yoke. Church, we've got to stop being busy and start prioritizing that which we say is worthy of it all. We got to start saying, if God is truly worthy of it all, then I'm going to prioritize my life around Him. You say, well, David, does that mean we can't watch football games that were on yesterday? I'm not saying that. Some of you, your prayer life was enhanced by watching the games yesterday. But I'm going to tell you that if you spend more time and devotion in your mind and heart for a football team rather than God, then yes, you need to check your priorities. Because in the grand scheme of eternity, who won yesterday in the games means nothing. But in the grand scheme of eternity, we will worship God for eternity, forever. I read some of a book this week, and it said that missions is important, but one day missions will end, but worship will not. When Jesus returns and we're with Christ for all eternity, we will worship God for all eternity. And I love what he says in his book. He says, missions exist because worship doesn't. What the author is saying is that missions exist because there are people who still yet to worship God in spirit and in truth. Church, are we offering our best to the Lord? And listen, I know what each of you are going through right now in your hearts and mind, because I'm going there right now in my heart and mind. Lord, there are so many areas and aspects of my life that I find that I enjoy, as in like watching football or this or that. And Lord, help me to know that my heart is right and that I am valuing you above everything else. I think that another application for us is, one, first, that we're overwhelmed by God's worth or who He is. Number two, that we are offering God our best. Number three is that we worship from an overflow of a heart of joy, not obligation. Remember the priest, what did they say? We're tired of this. We just feel like we're checking boxes here. The priest ultimately just said, hey, listen, I'm just tired. Do we worship God from a heart of joy or obligation? Let me just say, this goes back to the first thing. This goes back to how we value God. When we're overwhelmed by God's greatness, worship comes from the joy of the heart, or the overflow of the heart. When you simply follow the rules, worship comes from obligation. Some of us focus on the right way to worship and the rules to worship rather than the object of our worship, which is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. If your focus is simply on rules and how you need to worship, you'll begin to question other people's devotion when it doesn't look like yours. I've traveled all over the world. I've had incredible opportunities to worship in many different countries, in many different cultures. And let me tell you, in different cultures, they express their gratitude to God differently. You know, I told them I was possibly going to do this. I don't ever bring my phone up here, but I did today. I want you to hear three different, this, like, I would have put it on the screen, but it's just, usually whenever I'm in a worship time, I will like put my phone down, but I wanted to record it, right? I want you to hear three different continents, three different countries, three different ways where I was sitting in and hearing them worship the Lord, okay? You're not going to understand the words, Because, unless you can speak their language, but just listen to these three for just a second. All right. And one more. This one's a little louder for those in the back, so. About y'all, one of those was in Israel. The one who was singing was singing in Arabic. One was in South Asia, and another was in Zambia. But can I tell you that some of them had tambourines and bouncing around? You heard that in one of them. In Zambia, they were dancing. In Israel, it was more methodical in some sense. What united me with them was not their style of worship, but the object of their worship. I sat there in tears in all three of these places. I can't even tell you exactly what they said. But I was moved in the overflow of my heart because they're crying out the worth and the glory of who our God is. Church, when we're overwhelmed by the presence of God and our worship comes from the overflow of our heart for who He is and not out of obligation, checking a box, or looking some specific way, in that moment, we're unified together by the Spirit of God. We see in Scripture how being overwhelmed by the presence of God brings about different results, different things. Worship is more than a song. It comes from the heart. And let me just share with you a few passages. King David gets overwhelmed bringing the tabernacle, or bringing back the Ark of the Covenant, the presence of God, takes like a couple steps and he begins to sing and he begins to dance and he begins just overwhelmed. And we've written songs, right, that says, I'll become even more undignified than this for my God. Moses gets overwhelmed by the presence of God and he hides his face. Isaiah gets overwhelmed by the presence of God and he speaks out, he cries out, woe is me, a man of unclean lips. The Israelites trembled in fear and awe when the mountain of fire, the fire comes down on the mountain and they cry out to Moses, will you mediate for us? The nation of Israel bowed down in worship at the dedication of the temple, as they're overwhelmed, as Solomon rebuilds the temple and the presence of God shows up, they fall on their face. The shepherds who came and saw the birth of Jesus, they left glorifying and praising God and singing praises. Saul, also known as Paul, when the light of God shined and the voice thundered from heaven, he fell on his face before holy God. All of these are different things that took place in the heart of the people. From dancing to truly falling on their face and being blinded by the light. Proclaiming, woe is me, to singing praises to God. Church, if we're not careful, we'll become just like the priest in Malachi chapter 1. Who just do things out of obligation and just offer whatever they have left over to the Lord. But God has called us to be overwhelmed by His glory, overwhelmed by who He is, and to proclaim that and to offer praises and worship to Him. I love what it says in verse 14. It says at the end of verse 14, I am a great king, says the Lord, and my name is feared or revered among the nations. Even earlier in this passage, God even says, hey, listen, whether you worship or not, priest, my name will be glorified. And then he says here in verse 14, I am a great king and my name is feared among the nations. Church, I want to close by asking this. Do people revere or fear the name of God when they see how you worship the great I am? Do people see that you are willing to give your best? Do people around you see that you're willing to become even more undignified than this for my God? Do people see that you're not so concerned about doing this just right, but you're saying, God, I'm just going to fall on my face before you and I'm going to worship in spirit and in truth? That people around begin to see, wow, the one that he worships must be pretty powerful, must be pretty worthy. Who is this God that you are willing to literally fall on your face before? That you're willing to literally give your life to, that you're willing to truly sacrifice your life, your desires, your dreams, because you know that your God's ways and His plans are far better than anything that you could ever create or design on your own. Church, I pray that Mobile, Alabama sees how we worship, not based on rules, regulations, or obligations, but from an overflow of the heart. That we are lifting high the name of Jesus, that we are proclaiming how worthy God is, and that He is glorious, and He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and that we show this by how we sing and praise, but our life reflects that worship every day. So, church, I just close with this question. Do you line up with those in Malachi, the priest? Or is your life worshiping God in spirit and in truth, offering Him your best, every bit of who you are? Letting worship come from an overflow of the heart as you just see how great our God is. I'm telling you, I go to the mountains to remind and reset my mind, because when I get in the busyness of life, I find myself falling over here like the priest in Malachi. But when my eyes are on the King, I'm not judging whether other people's worship is good or bad. All I'm saying is my God is good. He is worthy. And I want to praise His name all the time. All the time.